The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away and give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do you mind if I move this? Okay. Greetings. On behalf of the Pacifica Synod, where I serve, and my colleagues and your siblings in Christ in the San Diego County, Riverside County, Imperial County, and even Hawaii, greetings. It is wonderful. It is a joy to be here with you today. And thank you for Pastor Meredith for hosting me, teaching me how to fish for reds, and having me. It's a delight to be here. The desire of God is that we would be relaxed into the arms of God. This is words from a preacher and theologian named James Allison, that faith is relaxing into the delight of God. I love that. Relaxing into the delight of God. My wife and I went to visit her grandparents in the later years of their lives, and her grandfather was in a nursing home. His name was Ned. And Ned had been a state patrolman for his whole life, and he had stories. And in his heyday, when I met him when he was retired, he loved to tell stories. And one of his stories from being on the turnpike in Pennsylvania as a state patrolman was the day that he arrested the governor of Pennsylvania. The governor of Pennsylvania had been going from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia for a campaign event to get reelected, and he had been late, and so he ordered his driver to go as fast as he could. So the driver, another cop, was going 100 miles an hour on the turnpike, which you've driven the turnpike. That's a little daring. And so, of course, Ned, being Ned, pulled the guy over, saw who it was, and without hesitating, arrested the governor for having ordered this policeman to break the law. It was one of his proudest moments in life. And in the later years of his life, you know, Ned's stories kind of became, we heard the same stories more and more often. And this story in particular, it was like every time I'd see him, it's like, "Did I ever tell you the time that I arrested the governor?" I'd say, "Yes, Ned, yes, I've heard." But then, "Yes, please tell me again." So I got to hear this story over and over again. And when, in the last few weeks of his life, we got to visit Ned in his assisted care facility, and he wasn't eating, he wasn't talking, he wasn't drinking water. You could tell when you walked into the room, you could tell that maybe he recognized that you were a familiar face, but you know, we weren't there to talk. We were there to be with him. We were there to pray with him and to say hello, to say our goodbyes. And one of the nurses came in to I don't know, help him to rearrange his pillows. And she got to talking to him. She was a very caring person. She said, "Oh, Ned, now I heard you were a state patrolman. Oh, you must be so proud. Thank you for your service." And I said, "Oh, yeah, he's got stories. He's got this great story about the time he pulled over the governor." And out of nowhere, Ned hadn't spoken for 3 days, that he said, "I arrested the governor." I love that. I arrested him. But there's something about these entanglements with authority figures, whether we're meeting a political candidate or meeting or arresting a governor. There's something about that I don't know, it just stuck with him in his later days. He couldn't speak, but this story of meeting and arresting the governor was so central to him. Our Jewish siblings say that the Sabbath is a queen who we welcome into the home. And when we welcome this queen into the home, we set out our finest silverware, our finest plates. We dress our tables with a beautiful tablecloth, because this engagement with this figure, this queen, this day of rest that God has ordained for us, set aside for us, should be so impactful as the story of my grandfather's arresting the governor. It changes our identity. It impacts us. It makes us who we are. They also say Sabbath was not made for humankind. Humankind was made for Sabbath. Sabbath was not made for humankind. Humankind was made for Sabbath. In other words, we tend to want to derive our meaning from our work. We say, "Oh man, I'm a state patrolman, I'm a pastor, I'm a fisherman, you name what." But in God's eyes, we were not made to derive our identities from what we do. That's meaningful. I think Luther would agree. What we do 6 days out of the week, it matters. But our true identity, who we are, is in the delight of God. And so on this day, in this place, we set out a fine tablecloth. We tell stories about the delight of God. We sing. We share in a meal, like people have done for thousands of years on this Sabbath day. And this engagement with this queen changes us. It gets into our lifeblood. It gets into our bones, so that even when we've become strangers to one another, even when we can't remember one another, we still hold this at the core of our identity. Today, Jesus, I think, meets a woman who our community would say is a stranger. We don't know much about her, but at the beginning, he just calls her woman. We don't know her name, which is really unfortunate. We don't know her name. We don't know who she is. We don't know who she belongs to in terms of what family she has. She's just woman, and she's a woman with a sickness. If you're a person who has cared for a loved one who is sick, if you're a person who has cared for somebody who has dementia or Alzheimer's, you know how sometimes the more sick we can get, the more estranged we feel from ourselves and from one another. So that whether we're bent over like this woman in the story or sitting in a hospital room, it can feel foreign to us. My own grandfather was a preacher. He was a pastor. I come by it honestly. And he loved also to tell stories. And I got to hear, I've never been to Alaska, but when I was a kid, I got to hear about how he did his internship up here. And he rode his motorcycle from Michigan all the way up the Alaska Highway. I remember that line. All the way up the Alaska Highway. And he served multiple congregations. He was kind of a rotating preacher in different congregations, serving communion. And same as my wife's grandfather, in the later years of his life, unfortunately, dementia took hold. And this man who I had known as a person who taught me how to fish, a person who taught me how to use carpentry tools, a person whose very identity so impacted my own, the older and older I got, the less I recognized him, because the less he recognized me. One weekend in the later years of his life, we were all going to go to a wedding for my cousin in the Dakotas. And my mom and I had volunteered to take care of Grandpa because his usual caregiver, my Aunt Cindy, was the mother of the groom, right? So we said, hey, let's have Grandpa stay with us. His name was Spud. Actually, his name was Arnold, but we called him Spud. So said, put Spud in our room. We'd love to take care of him. And I'll never forget the day I saw him when we welcomed him into our room. He said, ah, so nice to meet you. What's your name? And I said, oh, Grandpa, it's me, it's Marcus. And he said, oh, Marcus, and who is this lovely lady? And I said, this is your daughter, Grandpa. This is Linda, my mom. Oh, that's right, Linda. And it was painful. This person who had shaped me so deeply had become a stranger to me. And every time I helped him out of the bathroom, oh, thank you, what's your name? It's Marcus, Grandpa. So as the weekend went by, it was wonderful even caring for him in this way, but it was painful. And we took him to the wedding, and it was probably a sanctuary about this big, and he's a guest of honor, so he gets to sit in the front pew, and so I'm sitting there with him, and a piano player comes, one of my aunts, and she's playing all these sort of old-timey, beautiful hymns. And it's the kind of moment, like just like today in worship, where you're supposed to sit there politely, quietly, greet one another, but nobody's opening a hymnal, nobody's singing anything. And my aunt starts playing a familiar tune. She starts playing How Great Thou Art. And here was this man who couldn't remember where he was or who he was, what he was doing there, couldn't remember the people around him. But as soon as she started playing, I heard this voice next to me singing, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands hath made. And there he was. There was Grandpa, not a stranger anymore. This is what we're doing here. You know, sometimes it feels like, ah, why am I coming to church on Sunday morning, right? There's a football game, or I'd rather be out fishing. But the truth is, we gather, we welcome this queen into our homes. We gather in this place around meal because it is good. It is good to relax into the delight of God so that even when we can't recognize one another, even when we're grieving, even when tears stain our eyes, we have words that remind us that we belong to God, that we belong to one another. Today, we hear that the woman, after she is healed, is called daughter. She is returned to her family. A daughter, a person in relationship. So with all the hosts of heaven, with the woman in the synagogue, with my grandfather up among the saints today, for this healing love of God that brings us back to one another, who we welcome today as a queen, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.